Hello, this is Red Femme. You're here with Jen and Hannah. And on this episode, we're going to be talking about what we think the age of consent should be. But first, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, please follow us so you get notifications of future episodes and also maybe give us a review.
Yes, if you'd like.
So, shall I start?
Yeah.
I think that this topic gets discussed a lot, particularly on places like Twitter, and it's often sort of an argument between certain sections of society that want to sort of justify some of their community's history or religious history. And it often comes about when people reference, you know, this age-old idea, and it's still an idea in some parts of the world, and it certainly was even in the UK, this part of the world, that a child becomes an adult on the onset of puberty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea that once a woman, well, I mean, it's not usually the period that arrives first. It's usually underarm hair.
Yeah.
Actually. But that suddenly transforms you into an adult. And then this was also an argument made about boys when they're made into child soldiers.
Right.
The idea that, well, he's 12 and he started puberty, so now he's a man.
Right.
That can fight. And I feel like as much as this has been the case for most of history, that doesn't mean that it's right. And nowadays we have modern medical knowledge whereby we know that puberty is a process rather than an event.
Yes. And a much longer process
than we even thought.
And a process with which we actually don't have a lot of medical knowledge of. It's a field that is expanding. And for example, we now know that boys don't properly completely finish puberty till about 25.
Yeah, in terms of frontal lobe development, everyone until about 25.
And men don't stop growing
until
about 25.
Yeah. So the point is, adulthood arrives at the end of that process.
Yes, yeah.
Not before, not at the onset.
Mm.
And I think that it's so strange that that has to be kind of pointed out to people. But it comes up when we're talking about things like the age of consent. And in the UK, the age of consent is 16. So that means that a 16-year-old girl could be in a sexual relationship with a man in his 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
And as a teenager growing up, that wasn't very unusual for teenage girls, sometimes under 16, but let's just stick with the legal ones. At 16, would have a boyfriend who was 27 or a boyfriend who was 35.
Yeah.
And this is an adult who's in a relationship with a legal minor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then there is this kind of culture around calling those men nonces.
Right.
Because a girl is under 18.
Mm.
Anyway, it makes me, I mean, compared to a lot of Europe, we've got quite good, robust laws in terms of the age of consent. I think now Scotland has finally scrapped its law just last year that you could marry at 16 or 17 with the consent of your parents, and now it's fully up to 18.
It is in England as well.
Was it in England as well?
In England as well. Now it's 18 is the age of marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But I think that, I mean, yeah, France for a long time, until just the last few years, I think now it's something like 15. It used to be that a child could go on a date with a man.
Mm.
And it was meant to be that if the child is not verbal, so what, 2?
Yeah.
Then we don't know what's going on because the child can't verbalize whether this is consensual or not. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Completely ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous. But, you know, this has a lot to do with, I think, France's focus on its own language.
Yeah.
And speech.
Yeah.
And its, you know, history of normalizing paedophilia, which we also have here, of course.
In a different form.
In a different cultural way.
Yeah. My understanding of the French normalization of paedophilia is like it's like academic and it's about philosophy and it's so interesting. It's an expression of freedom and whatever. And then in the UK, it's a very like aristocratic tradition in boarding schools and so on.
Well, that's a really weird thing, that the most amount of apologism for, I don't know about activity, but certainly normalization, apologism for, or feigned ignorance of paedophilia is in the upper class and then the lumpen class at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's so odd. I assume, though, that it's caused by to, well, I think it might be that both think I'll get away with it.
Well, that's it. Like
I'm not really in society.
Yes, that's it. That's 100% what it is. Whereas middle class people have an insecure position in society. They could go up or down at any time. So you have to watch your behavior more. That's why they're more concerned with politeness
and yeah.
that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, what's the working class reason?
What's the working class reason? I think it's also because you're still in the social fabric.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I think yeah. it's that. And that you then, if anything, want to show that you have morals and values that aren't always attributed to you because you're just a worker.
Right. Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's this very weird class relationship to the sexual abuse of children in this country. So anyway, we should just maybe present our argument. I know we've discussed this before, but I really think that the age of consent should be 18.
Yes.
With a 2-year close in age exemption, which would mean that an 18-year-old could sleep with a 16-year-old.
And a 17-year-old with a 19-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the idea that teenagers are just in sexual relationships together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Particularly because at that age, 2 years is a huge difference. I remember being at school and others in my year, like my friends, would have a sibling 2 years above. And we would maybe sometimes talk to other children in the year above, maybe.
Yeah.
And there'd be a few friendships between years. But 2 years, never. It was like they were so much older. It was as if they were in like a different phase of life and we wouldn't be able to relate to each other. Like, and I would have never even noticed someone 2 years below me.
Yeah, especially when you're a kid, time just goes like so much. Like 2 years is massive. It's a massive amount of time yeah. for a teenager.
And I think that that law of it being 18 with a 2-year close in age exemption from 16 sounds like, I mean, it should theoretically have a lot of support, because the argument against it really is, so you want to have sex with minors.
Yeah.
You want adult, I mean, we're talking here really adult men with young girls or young, they're not young, with girls. The idea that a man, an adult man, wants to be in a relationship with a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I mean, you can make that argument if you want, but you're really exposing yourself there. That you can't even wait until a girl is 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in my feminist vision of the world, I'd probably have age and exemption laws until about 21.
Yeah.
But that's never going to be accepted. And I'd probably make marriage 25.
I would make marriage 25.
Because of the frontal lobe thing.
And,
and the people there that I'd be wanting to protect were really young women from religious communities.
Yeah.
Muslim, very religious Jewish communities, and Christian.
Yeah.
Because you can see a lot of the time that there are young women who are married off between the age of 18, 21, and maybe they've met the guy themselves, right? Like maybe it's the first boyfriend. They get married and then they very quickly have children. And I think that that time period until 25 would allow women at least some space to figure out who they are, what they really want, have a nice time at university, have a nice time traveling, doing whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that, as much as time feels incredibly slow and longer, basically, when you're young, you get to 25 pretty quick. And if you're that desperate to get married, get engaged at 24 or 21, get engaged, and then you just wait till you're 25.
Well, that's what I said to a TikTok comment, a young girl going, but what if it's like, you know, and like they're both very mature. And I said, well, what's wrong with waiting till 25? Like, what do you lose? What do you lose? From yeah. waiting till 25. You don't lose anything.
Right.
And I do think that if it's this idea that we live in a liberal democracy and we look to the world around us and science and we update our laws and our customs based on the best available information, we now know your brain is not fully developed until you're 25. And to make a major decision like getting married, getting a tattoo, getting whatever, I think you should be 25.
Ooh, tattoo?
Yes.
Really?
Like 90% of people who get their tattoo removal, get tattoos removed, they did it before they were 25.
Okay.
I just think if you like it that much, get on your 25th birthday.
Yeah. I think as well that because we've had this replacement of religion in some senses, but it's replaced traditional values generally, this idea of just like excessive liberalism as a kind of freedom, And then I think that a lot of people are seeing the results of that, right? Which we discuss on the podcast all the time in terms of like porn addiction, rising celibacy,
mental health problems,
people, generally men, exploiting women on dating apps. I think that it becomes clear that I would like to live, I mean, I'm a socialist, so of course I would, but I would like to live in a society with more regulation, including social regulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the paradox of freedom, right? Where we say sometimes you need restrictions to create freedom. If we had total anarchy, as in total personal freedom, we all went out and particularly men did exactly what they wanted to do all the time, people wouldn't be able to walk down the street and be safe anymore. It's the paradox of freedom that sometimes you require more restriction to create the conditions that can be conducive to the most freedom. And I think for freedom for women, I think a discussion about these kind of long-term major decisions happening before you have a fully developed brain, if we're not going to have a critical conversation about heterosexuality or sex and reproduction generally, at least we can have it in relation to age.
Well, that's the thing, that the social relations between men and women, particularly the sexual social relations, on the one hand, I get that people say, well, it binds our society together, families reproduce, there are all these important social bonds. I agree. And I sort of think then, can we not then aspire to the best version of that?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Which is that no young woman has to regret, why did I get married at 20? I lost some of the years of my life when I should have been out basically socializing, spending time on myself, thinking, trying to figure out what I'm interested in, what I want to do with my life. Because you can always then just add marriage, I say later, 25.
Yeah.
Like there's, and the other thing is like now online, there's so many men and women complaining saying, I'm 25, I'm 26, I've never had sex, I've never had a boyfriend or girlfriend. So we're clearly losing the plot in terms of what is age appropriate.
Yes.
In all directions.
Oh, completely. Yeah. And even just in terms of material progression and security, having a job, getting a university degree, getting a, you know, vocational qualification. I come across women all the time because of the content I make on TikTok who are like, I'm 30 now, I've never had a job, I don't have a single qualification, and I'm divorced.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in like in offices and social services with several children being like, what am I going to do with my life? And then the state, if we're talking about state support and funding, who has to come in to support people in that situation? The state has to go, okay, we have to find somewhere to take care of your children. You need so much money per month. We need to accommodate for your housing situation. We're going to have to pay for you to go get some qualifications because, you know, the state ends up having to pay that money anyway. So I completely agree that we've lost the plot in terms of what is age appropriate, in that people are doing age inappropriate things at a young age. But also there's not this idea that the age that your early 20s and late teens are times for development in terms of identity, career progression, social progression, all of those things that are so important. And I think we've also just lost this generation to basically the internet. They've just been subsumed into the internet. And if we could have a society with some social reproduction, because we're already doing it anyway, just through the markets. But if we could have a scientific, ethical way of looking at things, we would protect this age group and say, how could you best develop yourself so you can contribute to society, contribute to the state, contribute to whoever.
And you know, if someone desperately wanted to start a family at 18 or 21, 22, they could do that. And then you get married at 25.
Yeah.
I think that it's a little bit of a lie that marriage really protects and helps women.
Of course.
I get that women looked for marriage as a form of security, but a lot of the time it's a bit of a ruse. And I just feel like that's a life decision that you can't take back. You'll always have been married.
Yeah.
Like it's definitely like it's a legal status. You are either married or you're not. You're either divorced or you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that if we approached it in such a way where we...
I know that the police have never taken child grooming seriously. So even when they would find out that a 14, 13-year-old girl is in a relationship, quote-unquote, with a man in his 30s, it's not like they investigated that because they're lazy and they don't give a shit about vulnerable girls. But if you'd also then make it 18, and that change in the law could then be used to kind of campaign on and kind of stamp this thing of, if a girl is under 18, she's being abused. If the man is not a teenager, if this isn't just a normal peer-to-peer relationship.
Yeah.
And I just think if you're a 20-year-old man that wants to date a 17-year-old, there's something wrong with you, and you need to develop yourself because you should be interested in women your age.
Well, that was the thing that, like, I think I was in grade 6, so 9 or 10. And I mean, this was a very early time to say this, but my teacher was just like, oh, if an adult man is interested in you, there's something wrong with him. Like, why won't he be with men your own age, his own age, or women his own age? And it's when you're a teenager, you're so, it's so developmentally normal. You so want to seem adult. You so want to separate from your parents because developmentally, that's what you do as a teenager. When you're a child, you're completely dependent on your parents. Adolescence is a time to separate yourself from your parents and try to start forming your own identity. So it makes sense, particularly in the culture that we live in, where for women and girls, everything, you live vicariously through men or vicariously through children, that girls would think, oh, to become adult, I should be with an adult man.
Yeah.
To create that separation, I should be with an adult man. And adult men know this. So it's developmentally normal for the girls to want it, to, well, developmentally and culturally makes sense for girls to want it. But it's the job of the adults to say no.
Yeah. Like, I remember when I graduated university and then I had this union role where we helped new students move in. So I was like, what, 20? Just turned 22. They looked like babies to me. I was like, wow, 18-year-olds are so small. Like, the boys are so kind of skinny.
Yeah.
The amount of developing you do between like 18 and 21 is enormous. And you don't really get that again. And no. I just feel like at 20, I mean, again, this will, no one will ever agree with me, but 21, you're a fully, fully, fully an adult. You're responsible for your decisions. Go ahead. I would just guard against marriage for young women, really young religious women.
Yeah.
I would do that. And it's the sex thing. I just think it should be that adults shouldn't be having sex. Adults that are not teenagers should not be having sex with minors. And I don't think it's unreasonable.
No, it's not. And I think that's when people go, oh, but because that's the first thing they always bring up is the peer-to-peer relationships, teenagers having sex with teenagers. But the second you go, well, we'd build that into a law in which there would be a close in age exemption, then what excuse do you have? Why do you, as an adult man, and it is mostly adult men, why do you, or maybe disturbed adult women, why do you want to fuck teenagers? Like, explain it to me. Is there something, like, what does that do for you? Why?
It's 100% about control.
100%.
I remember when I was 19, 20, I had a girlfriend that was 27, and she would only ever, she had had relationships with older women before, but she, during that period, she was only interested in young women. So girlfriend before me was 18, and then I was 19 and turned 20. And then when she went back to Brazil, she got with a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
And at that age, she was like 28. It's like, this is just bizarre because you can't relate to each other. And that ability to relate, it comes from maturity, right? That you can relate to adults that are older than you. Like when my age gap's like, I was had a thing and very much in love with a woman that was 30 years older than me. But I remember she once had a conversation with me about emotional maturity. And she said, oh, you know, is it difficult for you because you feel that I'm much more emotionally mature than you? And I just said, I'm not sure if I had to choose one of us, you'd be the more emotionally mature one. But that's possible in your late 20s. Or maybe if you're a super experienced...
Sorry, my foot is so asleep.
Yeah, my foot is really asleep.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. We're recording in bed. This is the problem.
Yeah.
It's like... I get that, you know, in the past, people went to war sometime. My great-grandfather went to war at 12, but I mean, he did lie to them. I mean, he was in the Battle of the Somme at age 12.
Wow.
So I'm against child soldiers. However, I also think that, yeah, I get that in the past, people got married at 18. They had a couple kids. You had a lot of life experience. Your husband went off to war. You know, one of your children had died. But this is not the way things are going. The way things are going now is there's an extended adolescence. And so we should probably have laws that are appropriate to that.
Well, a few things about that. I've heard, I guess, some boomers and some Gen X say, my parents, when they were having kids at 18, 19, 21, were emotionally immature.
Right.
And I was raised by a stupid 21-year-old. I think of other 21-year-olds and myself at 21 and think, Jesus Christ, I cannot believe my mother had three kids by that point. She had no idea what she was doing. So I think we could probably look back and think, wow, look at how these generations turned out. Some good things, some bad things. Did having incredibly young, inexperienced parents without developed frontal lobes particularly help? I don't think so. And yeah, I think we've talked about this on the podcast before. Like, the concept of adolescence is quite novel, really. It really was this idea that the second you, the onset of puberty, because it was considered one single event, we now know with modern medical science, it's really an event that happens.
It's a process.
It happens for over 4 to 5 years for girls and almost 10 years for boys. That you were fully and completely an adult, you were the age of majority, whatever. And then it was really the school system that started this idea that, no, we should have this protected kind of idea of adolescence. And I think that given that this is a, we've evolved before, why not evolve again and think, yeah, you are an adult, you are the age of majority, you should be able to vote, you should be criminally responsible for your decisions, et cetera, et cetera. But there is something special about this 18 to 25 year old. You shouldn't be getting married. I don't think you should be getting other permanent decisions. I just don't.
Yeah.
You're still an adult. I would still hold you criminally liable in court. I would still, you know, all those things. You still have to pay your taxes. You're still the age of majority, but it's a bit different. Not in the way that Scotland has done it with their sentencing guidelines, by the way, that should be said, because Scotland has said the same thing, and that they said, oh, if you do a major crime under 25, we're going to be lenient, and then have let some rapists out. That's definitely not what I mean.
I think that for violent crimes, particularly by men, teenage boys can murder and rape adult women.
Yeah.
Girls and do their own age and do. Yeah, I mean, we're never gonna get our idea of, you know, close in age exemptions for consent until 21 and marriage only being lawful from 25. But in terms of just upping that age of consent from 16 to 18 with a 2-year close in age exemption so that teenagers can date each other, basically.
Yeah.
I think that if that was proposed, there would be such a hostile response. And I don't really understand why, because you can own the only fathomable thing could be that you agree with adults having sexual relations with minors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just sort of bonkers to me. But I think that, yeah, I really hope that someone proposes this. I'm trying to kind of steel man the argument against it. Like, what could the arguments be? I know that the police probably still wouldn't take child grooming very seriously. There'd have to be efforts made around that. I also get that there's some laws where it's like, well, you can join the army at 16.
Yeah, I think that would be the argument, would be that, oh, you can make other adult decisions at 16.
But I don't think you should be able to.
No,
I don't think you should be able to join the army at 16. I think it should be 18.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, nowadays, it used to be that you left school at 16. It's now that you're supposed to be in education until 18.
Yeah, exactly.
So other things have been raised in line with how our, you know, the trends in our society. And yeah, I know that when this was written about in the press, Julie Bindle said she was against it, raising the age of consent from 16 to 18, but she didn't explain why. And then my only thought was that it would be some esoteric reason from 1983 to do with trying to classify as many girls as possible as women.
Yes.
So that they have an idea that we women as a class, but I actually don't know because she didn't say her reason.
Yeah. I thought that might have been the reason. Yeah.
Otherwise, I can't see a feminist reason for it.
And I think that they'd want to say that a 16-year-old girl faces the same social pressures in heterosexuality as a 30-year-old woman. And I just also disagree with that.
I disagree with that. I also think we can talk about the pressures that girls face.
Yes, as opposed to women. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't, I also think that maybe some gay men would say that it's homophobic, because I've been told by gay male friends that similar to the way that women are seen in heterosexuality, that the younger you are as a man, the more sexually valuable you are.
Yeah.
And so I would have gay male friends kind of joking to me saying, oh, I didn't realize like how desirable I was at 16. And now I'm 25. I'm just considered like an old man.
Yeah.
Like an old maid on the shelf, or just not as sexually appealing at all as being young. And I suppose the whole twink thing.
Yeah, and then twink death.
Relies on being a kind of young man or a young looking man. But I just sort of think I wouldn't necessarily make it cover same-sex relations, because those aren't the ones that we're most concerned about. And in terms of the harm?
Yeah, I just think, I mean, it would be difficult to parse that out and say, except for gay men. Because I think it was the case, I'm not sure in this country, but the age of consent was higher for gay men.
Yeah.
And that was, they considered an unfair standard. But you don't get that argument anymore if we're just making it 18 for everyone. And I just think it has to probably be for everyone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
I mean, is there such a difference between a 16-year-old and 18-year-old who can't hold off for 2 years? 16-year-old little gay boys are so young. Yeah. Especially today. Like, I'm sorry. No, I think 16 is too young.
Yeah. I just... Yeah, well, then you wouldn't have gay men on board.
No, you wouldn't.
That's the problem.
Right.
So well, that would be one constituency.
Yeah, well.
That probably, some of them at least wouldn't be on board, but I just think, I don't know, I just don't see, like, isn't an 18-year-old young enough?
I was like, going to say, is like 16, 17-year-olds.
They're incredibly young looking and fresh, or whatever, however you want to typify it.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know some gay men who would be on our side, so.
The thing is that it's true for gay men and lesbians that, and it represents what men and women like, is in straight men and women as well, that men prefer a younger partner and women prefer an older partner.
Yes.
Overall. Those are the preferences. And
which sounds a lot less stressful for lesbians, because we're just like, we get better with age.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think that women that are interested in other women actually find women more attractive as they get older.
Oh no, completely. I know very few exceptions.
Yeah, but I think that for gay men it's different, and I think for straight men it's exactly the same.
Oh yeah, they're not any different to men generally.
No,
yeah.
No. So I hope that would happen. I don't know if anyone would accept our proposal, but surely it just sounds so reasonable. Adults that are out of teenagehood should not be having sex with minors.
I also just think, let's make 18 the age of majority. You do. Yeah. I know that we're also theoretically proposing a 25-year-old marriage.
Oh, but I agree
age,
with but... it for cigarettes. I agree with it for the army. I agree with it with alcohol.
Foster care stuff, you're in foster care till you're 18. I just think it should be one age to avoid confusion.
And avoid people making these little arguments of, oh, so you can do this, but you can't do that.
But like, but 16-year-olds are not adults in any capacity, and we know that now with modern science. So let's get rid of this idea that a 16-year-old is a pseudo-adult in some situations. They're not. They're
well,
not.
You can be taken into care at 16, 17. It's unusual. They'll usually give you support as an independent adult, quote-unquote. But you can be taken into care at 16 or 17, depending on your circumstances. So the idea that we're treating someone as a minor in some respects,
yeah,
but then there's all this sexual availability to adult men, is mad to me.
It is mad, yeah.
And I've seen it look like, I've been on just the high street and I see teenage boys go up to teenage girls and the first question they ask is, how old are you? How old are you?
Yeah.
And it's, and then they'll go 15 and they'll go, oh, and they'll walk off. And it's because otherwise they were going to chat them up.
Right.
And I think that men, unfortunately, a lot of men do need that legal framework of, no, you can't do that. Your life will be ruined. You'll be criminalized. Don't.
And even if it's a because we know in reality it doesn't actually happen, even if it's the phantom of that thing, I don't think, especially these women who are calling for prison abolition and abolish the police and so on, know just how much even the imagined consequences from male violence against women in the criminal justice system scare the shit out of men, mostly because they're worried about being raped in prison, which is, I don't agree with rape as a punishment for anything, but that's how they view it.
Yeah. No, it definitely does stop them. And I think that, I mean, it's why we also have that rule of like ignorance of the law doesn't absolve the crime, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah, if we lived in a really civilized society, it would be 18.
Yeah.
And if we lived in a feminist society, we'd get our way
with the 25.
With the till 21 and the marriage at 25 thing. But, you know, that would be extraordinary.
Pie in the sky.
Yeah, yeah. That's not going to happen. I just think it would be probably a good idea. I mean, this is the thing, like, loads of people seem to see those stories. Like, do you remember that Tiger King documentary?
Yeah.
And the woman who probably bumped off
the
guy that owned the zoo? It's like, he picked her up on the side of the road at 19.
Yeah.
And then I think she bumped him off 30 years later or something. But a lot of this is, it's really about trying to make it so that young women don't need to rely on older men for just having their basic needs met.
Well, that's another thing that happens is girls from poor backgrounds will get a quote-unquote older boyfriend with a job. So after they graduate high school, they have a place to live.
Yeah.
That's another very common. That's why people are like, homelessness mostly affects men. It's like, yeah, because women just trade sexual access for a place to stay.
Yeah.
That's why there's more homeless men than there are homeless women. So there is a bit of dynamic of that as well. So we'd also, in that society, probably need better housing rights and that sort of thing.
Well, there should just be more support for young people generally, as there should be more support for pensioners who are badly off.
Oh, completely. I mean, that's a whole other episode, the elderly and the massive crisis that's going to be.
Would you ever have an age of consent that way?
Well, there already is, effectively.
Is there?
There's capacity.
Capacity.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's always this kind of idea, which I don't think really exists, of like the gold digger who wants to get with a man who's rich in his 80s just before he gets, before he snuffs it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just, frankly, if you're 80 and you have capacity, you can make your own terrible decisions.
Yeah. I think for the elderly, it's just capacity, which also applies to non-elderly adults. You don't have capacity, you can't consent to sex. So,
well, that's the thing, that with dementia and probably with certain disabilities, mental disabilities, there is, social workers do bring up capacity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Including low IQ.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it has to be below 75 to be considered below average.
Right.
Like, really, like, out of, there's like averages, like, I think it's like 85 to 115.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit of leeway to 75, but if you get sort of anywhere near 70,
yeah,
basically those people tend to live in supported living,
right?
And I think that,
yeah, there's also, there probably is also the cutoff for social services as well, isn't it?
Yeah it's probably something like 70, but it's like, at that point, if you're such a vulnerable adult, it's then very hard to judge in a relationship, like, whether you're being taken advantage of. I guess if there was two very low IQ people together,
I think that's generally what
is understood.
Understood to be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. But that that does have oversight, usually, yes, of where they live. I've been to a cafe, I think it was in Wales. It was like a restaurant that was ran, or it was the people that worked there,
yeah,
were disabled people with various disabilities, and low IQ was one of them.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
We call it intellectual disability.
An intellectual disability, yeah.
Yeah.
But that framework and the fact that that restaurant was set up for them to have jobs in, there's still all of this state oversight.
Oh, completely.
This is the thing, that anyone that makes an argument against the state, I'm just like, you have no idea even the good projects that you'd be undoing.
Oh, yeah, completely.
And how much, like, those people would be open to exploitation.
Or they'd just be killed. Like, it'd be like a primitive society where disabled people and the elderly and anyone else would just be shot in the head, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the anarcho-capitalists...
Right.
You know, I mean, that would be the... What incentive is there, in terms of the profit motive, to set up, you know, workshops and nice supported living centers for disabled adults? Like, there is just none.
The other thing that I think the law does is, whilst most people now are getting married older, and the average age a woman gives birth in this country anyway is now 31, you can see that people are making what I would say sensible decisions, or decisions based on the current material conditions, right?
Yeah.
and the way things are socially. But there, again, it's really for the people for who that doesn't reach them. There are cultural backwaters in this country.
That's true.
I've, you know, experienced them, where people will suggest getting married still to your first boyfriend, girlfriend when you're 18. And they'll say, oh, you should have a baby by 21.
Yeah.
It's just like, what the hell are you talking about?
I know.
But though there are places that, like, it's like the land that time forgot.
Yeah.
And I feel like with legal measures, because they tend to circulate, because it's a big deal what's illegal and what isn't, that then gets round to those places. And the man who hangs around at the chip shop looking for vulnerable teenagers, and he's like, oh, but it's all right, she's 16. So he thinks, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check with 18-year-olds. And 18-year-olds, I know you think, oh, it's only 2 years. You're more wise at 18 than 16.
Oh, definitely.
It's just how it is.
Yeah, he'd be disappointed.
Yeah, he'd be very disappointed.
Yeah.
And I know that because I look quite young, whenever I've signaled to a man my real age, so I think I told this story before, that at my local station, I was holding some psychology books or something, and a man came over and started walking next to me and then said, oh, you're doing psychology A-level? And I said, nope, PhD. And he just wasn't interested anymore.
Yeah.
It's just because he knew my age. It's even that Vice, funnily enough, Vice, which is a really misogynistic website, a woman did a sort of social experiment where she said, every man who approaches me in the next 2 weeks, I'm gonna go, okay, yeah, and give him my time of day to see what he then says. And she just said that all of them, when she revealed she was 29, were like, oh, because they just realized, I'm not gonna be able to run this like I thought.
Well, that's the other thing. I think also, just thinking about the difference between 16 to 18, when you're 18, at least ideally, you should be thinking about your life, the kind of life that you want, what kind of degree or vocational skill you want to do, whatever. I think, and women and girls are thinking of, like, what kind of man do I want to marry, whatever. A 16-year-old is just going to be impressed by, he's an adult.
Yeah.
I'm getting adult attention, usually because I'm not getting it at home, which is a whole other part of this. But I'm getting adult attention. Yeah. And he could be a loser who lives in his parents' basement.
Yeah.
And that's why he doesn't want it to be 18, 19, 20.
Say what you said out the side of your mouth, because I don't think people will have caught it.
Oh, I said that just because they're not getting adult attention at home.
If you're not getting adult attention, appropriate adult attention from home, you do start to look for it from adults elsewhere.
100%.
And that leads to things like the possibility of being groomed.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, I even, you know, she said, this Vice writer woman, that some of them thought she was 17 and some of them thought she was 21, but they were all very disappointed that she was in her late 20s. And I think I did a lot of growing up between 19 and 22. I really sort of had my head screwed on properly from 23.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like you just then have these other leaps as you get older and you become more mature. And it's just from experience, honestly.
I think the development between 24 and like 28.
That's big too.
Is so significant.
I would say, well, for me, between 30 and 35.
Well, you're always developing, aren't you?
Hopefully. But no, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
Hopefully, but I think everyone must develop until 21. Yeah. Some maturity differences.
I think also, I was just going to say about the kind of men who are interested in 16, 17-year-olds, they will be losers.
They are losers.
Because they're low economic prospects.
Oh, they're
unlikable.
They're usually much worse. It's about finding someone that doesn't have discernment.
Yeah.
So like my girlfriend's best friend when I was 16, 17, her best friend was with a heroin addict who'd been to prison for shoplifting.
Yeah.
And he raped my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So these kind of men.
Yeah.
Like fully, I don't know of one that wasn't basically a total down and outer in terms of long-term unemployment, skirting with prison or actually in prison. Those are the men that know that if they, you know, if they're a 23-year-old chap or 28 and they want to meet a woman who's in their age range, she's going to have an assessment of, oh, no, it's not great. You've been to prison.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm not impressed by drugs because I'm not a teenager who thinks drug use is cool at all.
Right.
Or an adult thing. That's why they think it's cool. Because, like, oh, this is what adults do.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you have those basically adult goggles on, where you're like, this isn't impressive, because now I know what it's like to be an adult.
Yes.
And I know it's not particularly cool or anything else. It's yeah. just a state of being. You're a certain, you know, age and maturity. So it is really about keeping predators at bay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, surely I just hope that changes before, you know, 2030, 2050, whatever.
Well, the age of marriage being now 18, I mean, the fact that it's just religious and spiritual abuse, basically, the fact that they were like, you can be 16 and get married with parental permission. It's just like about arranged marriages for fundamentalist communities.
Yeah.
And the fact that that was legalized at all, it should not be.
No. And I think the fact that there's, so like you can maybe in Sharia, I don't know if you can still do that, but not the legal marriage, but the religious marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would even,
yeah,
I would say that has to be in line with the laws of the land. Sorry.
And if you're in a cohabitation scenario where you're calling each other husband and wife and you've done it through a religious court, you would still say the state should like criminalize that. Yeah, I think I would too.
What I would criminalize is the adults who signed off on it. As right. in like the parents who signed off on it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And potentially if there was an older man and younger woman, I probably wouldn't criminalize the woman.
It's like how in Utah and they try to get it passed in British Columbia because they have fundamentalist Mormons as well. They have criminalized, even if it's not a legal marriage, polygamy. Like, even if it's a spiritual marriage in a Mormon church, they'll come and yeah. bust it up. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that people in the West don't realize how much marriages are arranged.
Yes.
Like, yeah. They really are. I remember on a bus being mistaken for like a boy. I think they must have thought this is a teenage boy.
Yeah.
He's probably a virgin because he's quite petite and small for a boy. And like, I've just had like women that I think were probably just on holiday here saying like, oh, hello, are you married? And I'm like, what? And then they'll like look at their daughter and I'm like, wait, what? What's this conversation about? And it even happened to me in the West Bank outside a checkpoint with it. Basically, you have to go through checkpoint single file. So if you're in a group, you spend a lot of time waiting for everyone else in your group, right? And I went first. So I was hanging around at the exit and this woman was looking at me and I just sort of like looked back a bit. And then she said, man or woman? And I was like, woman? She was like, ah, how old? I said, 28. She went, ah, I have a son, 25. And I was like, oh, really? She just started getting photos out. And I was like, I actually have to go, but good luck with your son. Because she saw me and was like, I introduced them.
Yeah.
He can have a visa or whatever yeah, the yeah, plan yeah. was. But people in other parts of the world and communities we have here that have some heritage in other parts of the world do. I have friends that have had arranged marriages. I have a friend who was arranged to be married to his cousin and they had a kid.
It should also be... It's worth noting as well that arranged doesn't mean forced
necessarily
all the time. There are like people who are like, this is how I want to do it.
Oh, no, I agree with that. I just think that you can't make that decision.
No.
Well, in my opinion, before 25, definitely before 21.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm so glad now it's at least bloody 18.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's our take.
That's our take on all this.
And if you would like more content, check out our Patreon. We have bonus episodes every Thursday.
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Bye.